All right, we're going to be in Job, chapter number 14. So at least to start off with, Job 14. So I get to church today, and Brother Rice asked me, what are you preaching about? I told him, I don't know. The Lord, I had two messages coming into the service today, and there's one that I really wanted to preach because I get to yell and be loud. But that's not the one the Lord laid on my heart. So I'm going to preach what the Lord laid on my heart. Job, that's always a good idea. I kind of learned that the hard way. Job, chapter number 14. So I walk into service, and I notice that people are not in their regular spots. I look down, and I see this big bald head in front of me. So that's not a kid. Appreciate you right in the front row here. Job chapter number 14 and verse number 1 says this. Man is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word, Lord. I pray that you would fill my thoughts with the message you want to get across, Lord. I pray that you would bind my tongue and only give the things that that would be profitable for your people, Lord. I pray that you do something mighty in our midst, Lord. I pray that you would speak to hearts and that you would take these words, take this message, these ideas, and implant them in the hearts of your people, Lord. I pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that is said and done in this place. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so we see here that man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Today we just had our prayer request list, and it seemed like it took forever to get through all the different things. What is that? Well, we know that life is just full of trouble.
Yep.
Whether that be salvation, whether that be physical things, whether that be external things, whatever it is, man, kind of. The switch. Oh wait, wait. It's not me. All right, we're good? Everybody can hear me?
Yep.
All right, fantastic. We found out, we're reminded again today that mankind is full of troubles. Compared to a roller coaster, man, there's the dips, you have the twirls, you have the other things. We're not quite sure where everything is going to end, but we are, when we ride a roller coaster, we are sure that we're going to make it back to beginning saved. No one rides a roller coaster to fall off at the end, correct? No, we don't want to ride a roller coaster that's not complete, that's not done. But the Lord promises to bring us back safely again. That's what he does every single in our lives, over and over and over again. And we don't have to go through life alone. I don't know how the lost people go through all the trials that they go through. We have trials just like them. We have difficulties just like them. God doesn't always take us from those trials. Many times he doesn't. He takes us through the trials. But God wants to make known his presence in our life. That's the reason why many times trials do come into our lives. Go to Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah 43, verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What is he saying to Israel? He's saying, Israel, there's going to be times in your life that you're going, in the history of Israel, that you're going to have to pass through the waters. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to have to pass through the fires. But know this, I know thee. I am with thee. I will be the one right there beside you. I will be the one that helps you through this. God wants to have a close relationship with us, just like he does his people back in the Old Testament. Hey, Jacob, there's some things going to happen in your life. Some difficulties, some turns that you're not expecting is going to happen. But I know thee. And Christians, we see in the New Testament that the very hairs on our head are numbered by the Lord. He knows thee. He wants to guide thee. He wants to be with you. But you got to be in His presence. We can go through whatever life throws at us if we're dwelling in the presence of the Lord. So today I want to spend time on this topic, dwelling in the presence of the Lord. First of all, I want to share with you the blessings that are involved with being in the presence of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 16, verse number 11. Psalm 16, 11. There are several. I have five blessings that are found in the presence of the Lord. For the first one we see in verse number 11 of Psalm 16. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Hey, if you want joy in your life, where is that found? Not just a little joy. The Bible says fullness of joy. What does that mean? A whole lot of. Lots and lots and lots of joy. Found where? In the presence of the Lord. The Bible says there's pleasures forevermore. Now the problem is that this life will give you little tidbits. As Proverbs tells us that there's the pleasures of sin for a season. They'll give you happiness. They'll give you a good time. There's no denying that. But the world will never give you joy. Joy is something that takes a Christian through hard times and tribulations. You can have joy when all the world is falling apart. You may not be happy, but you can have joy. And the Bible says, if you want joy, if you want happiness, if you want joy, if you want pleasures forevermore, where is that found? It's found in thy presence. In that presence. Let's consider Matthew chapter 11, verse number 29. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee" what? Rest. There's joy. There's rest. How many times that we've come home from a hard day's work and we just want to sit down, relax a little bit. We want to maybe take your shoes off. And why? Because we get weary. We get worn down. And over a long period of time, it's easy, if we're doing anything for the Lord in our own strength, we get weary, we get tired. Why is that? Because we're not spending time with the Lord. The Bible says, "Come unto me." Where is rest found? Well, when we come to Jesus. We see joy, we see rest, we see, let's go to Psalm 91, verse number 15. Psalm 91 and verse number 15. Let's pick up a verse number 1, actually. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So we're in the shadow, the secret place of the Almighty. We're dwelling close to the Lord. Drop down to verse number 15. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." What do we find in the presence of the Lord, in that secret place of the Most High? We find protection. We find protection. We find the protection that only God can give. And that's only in the presence of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 41. We have joy, we have rest, we have protection. While you guys turn in there, I want to read to you Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16. It says, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find" what? Grace. "That we may find mercy," right? So what do we find in the presence of the Lord? What are the blessings that are associated with that? We have joy, we have rest, we have grace and mercy, we have protection. And in Psalm 41, in verse number 10, I probably should get there myself. Psalm 41, verse number 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness. What do we find in the presence of the Lord? We find strength. We find joy. We find mercy. We find grace. We find protection. We have so many things, and we can spend all day talking about the things that we find in the presence of the Lord. And the fact of the matter, God wants us to be with Him. God wants us to dwell in His presence. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. So point number one, the blessings that are found in the presence of the Lord. Point number two, God desires a very close relationship with us. We'll pick up in verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. There are some religions that would have a high and mighty, very impractical view of God, where God is up here and He wants all of His children down here worshiping Him. That's not the relationship that God wants from us. Not just merely a creation God relationship. But what does God say that He wants from that the kind of relationship that He wants from us? He says, "If you would come out from among them, I will be a father unto you." That's different from a God creation. It's more personal. I remember each of us has stories about them and their fathers and the things that the time you spend together. I remember going out fishing with my dad and thinking, this is the greatest thing ever. I remember sitting watching Saturday morning cartoons of my dad, laying on my father, and just spending time with him. And we all have those intimate times that with our father figures in our lives. That's the kind of relationship that God desires from us. Not that he will be just your God. He does want to be your God, but He wants to be your father. Something closer, something more intimate. In Romans chapter number 5 and number verses 1 and 2 tells us that he wants to be so much a father to us that He sent His Son to die on the cross from our sins. Remember, our sins have separated us from God. Our sins are the thing that broke our fellowship with God. And in Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, we see that Jesus Christ has made peace. God desired a relationship with us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, to build that relationship with Him. Being justified by faith. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 2. And so, Revelation chapter number 2, these are the letters that John writes to the church, well, from the Father, from Jesus Christ, Him talking through John to the churches. And the very first one we see is as Ephesus. And in verse, he says some good things about him. He says verse number 5, remember from whence thou fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick from his place. So we see some bad things that are going on in this particular church. But I want to draw your attention to verse number 7. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." We see this letter to the church of Ephesus. It says, and he tells them that you're doing this, that. You're doing good things. I know that works, that they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You did all these good things, but you left something. Your first love, right? He wants them to go back and pick up that first love. What is that first love? Well, it's the love that they had for Jesus Christ. Whatever it was that they were doing, they weren't doing for the Lord anymore. And he says that if you would come back and and love me, and if you come back and pick up your first love, I will give thee eat of the tree of the knowledge of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We as Baptists, we love eating, correct? Right on Sunday, we are going to have an opportunity where we get together and eat lots of food. Now, the food will be delicious. That's not why we have these fellowships, right? Food is great. I love eating. But we have these fellowships that we eat, bring food, so we can actually fellowship, spend time with, right? When I was in college, I took my bride-to-be out to dinner. And we had a great time eating dinner over multiple occasions. Did I do that just so I can see her put food in her mouth? No. Not at all. We did that so we can what? We can spend time with each other. And God Almighty is saying here, hey, if you come back to love me the way you should, we're going to have a sweet time of fellowship in the paradise of God. God desires a relationship with us. There's blessings associated with being in the presence of God. The question is, why don't we have a relationship with God? If God desires so much that we have a relationship with, and there's some good things in the relationship in a relationship with God, why don't we have a relationship with God? Hebrews chapter number 13, the last part of verse number 5 tells us that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's not that God goes away. It's not that God leaves us. What happens? I believe the songwriter said it best. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It is us that move astray from God, not the other way around. We don't have a relationship with God because we, as Jonah, and we flee from the presence of the Lord. We love something else better, more than Him. We let our sin get in the way. Isaiah chapter number 59, verse number 1 and 2, tells us that our sin has separated us between us and our God. It is our sin that has created a gap in our fellowship. It's not that God says, I don't like so-and-so, I'm going to... No, it is us pulling away from God. And the fact of the matter is, God places the responsibility of being close to Him squarely on our shoulders. Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 8. We see that Israel's big problem is that they had lots of religion. They said a lot of good things. They had the Pharisees going out of the way to proclaim how righteous and how good that they were. And Jesus has a comment about that in verse number 8. It says, the people draw nigh to me with their mouths, and with their heart, with their lips they do. I'm going to misquote that, so I'm going to go straight to that passage. It says, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So we see that there's a group of people, Israel, God's chosen people, that tried to wear their righteousness on their sleeves. They talked a good talk. They were doing things. They were making sacrifices. They were following the law of the day. They've added some things to the law. But what was the problem with the Pharisees? What was the problem with Israel? What was the problem with the religious rulers? They talked a good talk, but they didn't do anything to back it up. Their hearts were far from the Lord. So we can come to church and dress in our finest, and we can say all the right things, and we can do all the right things, and we can go about the routine of being a Christian, and yet be very far from the Lord. We can do all the religious things that we know how to do and never be in the presence of the Lord. That's a scary place to be. In James chapter number 4, verse number 8, it says, draw unto me, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. God places the responsibility of being close to God on your shoulders. You will have the kind of relationship with the Lord that you want to have. He will be God in your eyes, and you'll be close to Him, and God will give you joy and peace and mercy and all these different things. Or you can be far from God and just play the part. That all depends on you. So, how do you have a relationship with God that is worth something? Not just talk, not just a mask that we put on. How do we have a relationship with God that is actually going to get you through the trials of life? That's going to give you that joy that we've talked about, the mercy that we talked about, the grace that we've talked about. First of all, you've got to do what He says. Go to James chapter number 1. Be doers of the word. We'll pick up in verse number 22. James 1 and verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, not being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And so we see that there's more to us reading their Bibles than simply checking off something out. Being a doer of the word. The Bible compares itself to a glass. We don't go around saying, go look at yourself in the glass. We say, go look yourself in the mirror. He's talking about a mirror. He compares himself to a mirror. Why is that? Because it shows us who we are. Every time we take a look at it, it tells us exactly where we are and how we look. Not physically. I can't see myself in it, of course. But it tells us who we are. And at that point, we have two choices to make. Am I going to do something with the information that was given me? Or am I going to not? How many times we come to the God's law and God says, hey, you got something here you need to fix. And we just go about our business. In our teen class, we do our New Testament. We're in Old Testament companions. We're about to do New Testament companion. I get those mixed up all the time. But we have we go through the scheduled reading every single day, and on Sundays we go through that. And if we're not careful, what is very easy to do is go through the passage, look for the blanks, fill them in, and oh, I'm done. But did I really do anything? No. When we read our Bibles, we especially young Christians, they get to a point where, hey, I read my Bible today. Well, what did you learn from it? I read my Bible today, right? But there's more to it than just a checklist. This is what the Word of God says. It's not until we actually do something with that information does it actually profit us. It's not until we take actions and fix the ugliness that we see when we look at the Bible and look at who we are. It's not until we actually do something with it. How are you going to have a relationship with God? It's by taking God's word and doing something with it. Being a doer of the word. This man should be blessed in his deeds. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 15. The second thing we can do to develop a close relationship with the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord, is by keeping in contact with Him. Verse number 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very short verse. Pray without ceasing. What is that? Keeping in constant relationship, constant contact with the Lord. Jesus had to pray regularly. We see over and over again that God, that Jesus Christ, when he lived on this earth, he separated himself to pray. He prayed in the morning. He prayed this, and he prayed to his Father on the Mount of Olives. Over and over again, we see examples of Jesus Christ praying to God. But Jesus was God. If Jesus, who was God, walked on this earth, that knew what was going on, knew the situations that he found himself in, needed to pray and talk with the Father, how much more do we, who do not know the circumstances around us, do not know how where to go next, do not know anything at all, need to have a steady time of praying to the Lord? Not a time where we just recite whatever prayer we've learned as a kid. Or when I was a kid, my mother is Catholic, and they have prayers that they do. And I remember as my mother was a typical Catholic. She didn't go to church or anything like that. She just had all these things that she tried to instill in us. But one of those things was the prayer for food. Right? And went over and over again, over and over again. Did that really do anything? Is that really talking to the Lord? Is that really having open communication with him? Not really. It's not until you pour your heart out to the Lord. It's not until you connect with him on a regular basis, asking him for direction, asking him for whatever you need for the day. Not just asking for things as well, but praising him, blessing him. Hey, thank you for this. The Lord loves to hear us express our thanks to him. The Lord loves us to praise him. The Lord loves us to when we praise him, tell him how great he is. I mean, think about it. My wife loves me to tell her how beautiful she is, right? She's like, oh, he's talking about me again. Your friends want you to tell them, well, how about your God? When's the last time you just prayed just to simply tell God how great he is? Yeah. That is a good thing. That is having open communication with the Lord. How close would my relationship with my wife be if we never talked? I mean, we've heard this illustration over and over again. I've probably said it from here like 15 times. But that's still true. If you only talked on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, and when you eat, how close a relationship would you have? Thirdly, let's go to James chapter number 4. Actually, skip that. Let's go to First John, chapter number 1. James 4 and verse number 8. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. We quoted that verse already. John, chapter number 1. Separate yourselves from your past lovers. How do we have a close relationship with the Lord? Being doers of the word. Having a constant, keeping constant contact with the Lord, by separating ourselves from our past lovers. Before we were in Christ, we were in love with sin. That's what we did. We acted, as the Bible says, after your father, the devil, right? Everything we did was for our pleasure, and we only did things that we liked to do. Why? Because we love ourselves. We love the pleasure associated with that. Let's all look. No. What will happen if I start hanging out with my ex-girlfriend? I see daggers flying across the room already. And a pen, apparently. That wouldn't go over well, right? Let's take it with God. You lived after sin. You couldn't do anything but sin. And now God has called you out of that. How do you think God feels when you go back to the thing He saved you from? How do you think God feels when you go back to the thing that He sent His Son to die on the cross for? In John chapter number 1, let's pick up in verse number 6. It says, if you say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What is the point of this physical passage? If we read the entire chapter, we see that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we want to have fellowship with God, what do we must do first? If we're going to have fellowship with God, we cannot walk in darkness. Right? If we want fellowship with a holy and righteous God, we cannot walk in unrighteousness and in filth. How do I have a close relationship with God? I got to separate myself from the things that I once was. I think of Ephesians chapter number 2. It's a great passage telling about how what we once were, but we have been quickened. We were all this. We were filth. We were going after the things of the world. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were all of this, but God in His mercy has quickened us. He has saved us. He has made us alive so that we don't have to serve sin any longer, but we can serve Him. He has made us alive so we can, He has revived our souls so we don't have to spend our lives seeking after pleasures that will never satisfy. And so that we can have the closeness and fellowship with the Lord. And with that fellowship comes joy and peace and grace and mercy and all those different things that are found in His presence. But the key to all this is this one thing. You're only as close to God as what you want to be. If we had a way to pull you up here and pull out a special machine that shows your relationship with the Lord, what would that look like? Would it be like Israel, where I'm doing a lot of things, but my heart is far from the Lord? Or do you have a close dependence, close relationship with God? You're only as close as God as you want to be. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take these ideas, these thoughts, Lord, and again, impact our hearts, Lord. I pray that we would take that next step to be closer to you. Whatever it is, whatever is hindering us, Lord, I pray that you pull that out of the way, Lord. Help us love you more than all the other things around us, Lord. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified in us. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.